This is Will's Band of the Week for April 15th, 2018. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hey, everybody.
And Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just used up all the good stuff before we started recording. So,
straight after this, I'm going to set out on foot to Madison, Wisconsin, and see how long it will take.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while.
We were talking about how the satellite is so much faster.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Even, 60 years into the satellite era?
Mm-hmm.
It's still astounding to me.
Yeah.
That this kind of thing can happen. But
what if we didn't have satellites? It'd be a problem, right?
It would be a problem. Like if we had to record stuff, take it over to, like we'd say, welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will along with Barrett. Hi. And then we'd have to record that and bring it over to Craig.
Right.
Then he'd have to say, here I am.
Yeah.
You know, I guess we could have him record multiple parts. Like maybe he could pick some songs.
Yeah,
kind of spliced it back, but still, that would take a long time.
It wouldn't be as natural and free flowing.
We'd have to have a script and write it, and then he would just have to say his lines.
Right.
Then it would take like 6 months for each show to be produced. Probably.
Right.
Of course, we'd get paid then because it'd be so impressive. So we'd make more money that way.
Mm-hmm.
One every 6 months.
But then, if you factor in the travel costs,
yeah,
I guess we could use the mail. That might work too.
Rather than walking there,
yeah,
and delivering, yeah, yeah. So, let's mention the other little tidbit, which is it's presently basically a blizzard in Madison in the middle of April.
Right, very very unusual.
It's downright nasty outside.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all happy to be inside.
Absolutely.
In fact, instead of doing my outdoor run this morning, you know what I did instead?
Indoor run.
77 laps around the track. So, that's what this weather drove me to do.
That is boring.
It's pretty boring.
Do they stop every once in a while and let people go the other way around so you don't hurt your hips and stuff?
Nope. It's all the same direction.
Wow.
They alternate by day.
Oh, okay.
So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday is counterclockwise, and Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday is clockwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, well, hopefully we're going to be out of this miserable weather soon. So, we have all kinds of fun stuff this week. I'm not afraid to set the listeners' expectations high, because I'm so confident that we will meet those expectations.
We always have.
Fun stuff.
Right?
Yeah. And
never fallen short.
I'm not sure if we've ever had Craig on when we haven't had one of these. If he's not scouting the entire world, Craig's at least scouting, I would say, all of Europe for us, right?
I'm trying my best. There's only so much one person can do.
Right, yeah.
But last weekend, I was out on the road in London once again, and a podcast favorite, Florist, was playing.
And did she have everybody sit down?
It was in a church, and there were chairs, so everyone was already sitting down,
Okay.
So that was good.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have us get off the chairs and sit on the floor, so that was... This was fun. I don't know, because the UK is kind of once was very religious and is still kind of religious now, but it's mostly secular. Mm-hmm. So you have these churches which have been decommissioned as religious buildings and now used as art centres. It's quite common for most towns to have something like that. Most cities, London probably has many, and this is just one of them. It's a really cool little place, Stoke Newington Old Church. That's up in the northeast of London, towards, if the listeners know, Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, that would be Stoke Newton's kind of on the way to Tottenham, the northeast London. Yeah, and last time I saw florist Emily Sprague is the leading member of the play in London. She was on her own, and she said, "I'm coming back with my full band." So that was kind of okay. So we go, but there was one more person there anyway. So that was not quite the full band, but there was two people making up florist this time, and it was pretty cool. It's kind of, you know, really quiet in the church, and everyone was listening, which is kind of different when you're in a kind of club or bar venue. People are always chatting at the back, but you don't get that when people are sitting in a church. So it's kind of good for having a nice sound. And I was thinking that this is really, it's really melodic and really, really quite nice.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
They didn't play. Well, there was a matinee before we went, and we went to the evening show, and she didn't play like the two two best songs on the new album, which is kind of weird. So the newest album is If Blue Could Be Happiness, I think that's the title, and there's a title track with the same name. Didn't play that. Didn't play Going Brightly, which is another really good song off the new album. So that was kind of odd, but not bad, because they played other good songs instead. So just something noteworthy, maybe.
Yeah. And how big of a crowd?
It was a small place. It was sold out, but both shows, matinee and evening. I think maybe 50 to 80 people, something like that. Quite an intimate environment.
That's cool, though, because if they sold it out then, and you fill up the small space, then it's cool.
Yeah, I like that. It worked well. Rather than them playing one show of 150 or 200, this is a nicer way to do it. It's a better environment for the band to play in, and you don't have people talking at the back, as I said, and stuff. So it's kind of works better for everyone that way.
Yeah.
Do they sell drinks there and stuff, or not?
Yeah, because I don't know if... It depends on the religion, doesn't it? But there are some church venues where they don't have alcohol. They just have tea and coffee, but that's fine. But because this one isn't a church anymore, there was a little bar in the back corner. I think it depends on who's in charge of the building. But yeah, they had some cans from a local London brewery. So that was pretty cool.
That's good.
Yeah. We have one place.
Obviously, alcohol is essential. I said it's fine if they only have tea and coffee, but I don't consider that to be fine.
Right.
I should just say that to try and be more moderate.
You can have a good time at a show without alcohol, but you can't have a great time.
Right? Only good?
Kind of
right.
Yeah.
We have one venue here, the Press House, that used to have shows. This Presbyterian gathering space. You know where that is, Will?
No.
It's right next to, it's on the Library Mall.
Okay, yeah. I know where that is. But and I think I'm
kind
getting
of
it.
Similar type things. Oh, and then there's Music Hall across...
Right.
Across the street from that.
But there was also a place called the Catacombs. There was like a Catholic coffee shop, and it had bands sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was getting the Press House and the Catacombs mixed up because they're like right next to each other, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Didn't they rebuild the Press House?
They, well, I don't know that they took...
There's something on that block that got rebuilt. Like a
Well, they
building.
Did the... Yeah, the Catholic Church is rebuilt.
Oh, okay.
St. Paul's there. But, yeah. So anyway...
Oh, I've
I don't
got
have shows anymore.
I have a secondhand live report. My son Reese went to see Always in Portland.
Wow! Huh.
And he said it was very odd because he musically he liked it, but as far as the experience, he and his girlfriend went up to the front and they were literally getting slammed into. There was a mosh pit. He's like, "What the hell? A mosh pit for Always?"
That's weird.
He's like, "Why?" He's like, "I was having a really good time when I wasn't getting slammed into by drunk people." That's what he said. Very odd, right?
Portland being like that at all.
Right. I mean, you'd think of Portland the other way. Like right. I said, this is
a stroking hipsters.
Yeah, exactly.
Club Martyr and whatever they drink.
I told him that in Milwaukee they were pretty peaceful. So you would think if anybody was going to, you know, get violent, Milwaukee would before Portland would, right?
So. You would think, right? But
So that's unusual. Did you have one more live report, Craig? You mentioned something else.
Well, this was a brief thing, but it's pretty interesting, I think, anyway. The listeners can be their own judge. The next day, we went to see Jeffrey Lewis, who we don't talk about too much on the podcast, but he's a pretty cool guy, actually. Been churning out these kind of folky, urban folk records, since early 2000s, maybe? And a prolific live performer. He's always on tour, at least once a year in the UK and Europe. And I'd imagine the same in the States. He's just always... He does things in this really... I don't know how well the listeners know him, but he does these things in a really kind of DIY fashion. So if he's got a tour coming up on his Facebook page, what he did before Facebook, I don't know, but this is what he does now. He he'll post, me and the band are looking for, we're in Birmingham, Alabama this night, and then Atlanta two nights later. We need a gig between the two. Can you put us on and put us up in your spare bedroom? You know, we're looking for a situation, possibilities, which I think is, he doesn't have these tour managers or record labels or anything running things for him, which I think is a really cool way of doing it. He's just a decent, ordinary guy, plying his trade.
So that's
European
Yves Barzelay.
Right.
Yeah.
This guy plays at the coffee shop, he'll do kind of a similar thing. And a lot of times he'll just wait until he's at the show and then he's, selling the CDs and stuff. And like, hey, by the way, maybe I could crash at your, on your couch tonight or something. So, yeah, it'd be kind of a fun way to live for a little while. I'm not sure how long I could do that, but
no,
it's the rock. That's why we just talk about rock and roll rather than actually doing it, with the exception of Will, who not only talks about it but gets into the game too. So
right. Well, and Chris plays the bass in the studio too.
Right.
So back to this live report, Craig. Sorry.
Yeah. The fun thing about the show was, this is about, I don't know how many times I've seen him now, more than five, probably fewer than 10. And he, when you go and see some bands, it's obvious, it depends on where they are in their career, what stage, what level of band, but there's different kinds of ways they can make up the set, aren't there? Sometimes it's going to be a greatest hit set. I imagine if you go and see Wilco, for example, or the National, they'll play some stuff from the new album and the rest is greatest hits. Some bands deliberately don't play the most famous songs. I'm trying to think of an example of about who that would be, but I guess if they're a little bit more pretentious, or perhaps there's one song that they really try and avoid playing because they know the fans are really clamoring for it and they don't really want to be known just for that. And Jeffrey's kind of, he just plays whatever the hell he wants to play. He's got so many songs. And then for this one show, he said, okay, we're going to do something different now for this Matinee. I've got the top 20 songs from my Spotify the top 20 songs listened to by Spotify listeners of me in the last month. I'm going to play them in reverse order, counting down to the most favorite. And the audience just went wild because that you're going to get the Jeffrey Lewis greatest hit set, which is he would never ordinarily play. So it's just a really fun experience, and people getting more and more excited, guessing what was going to be coming up.
That is a fun thing.
Yeah, it would be contrived if you did that every time. He's like, this again. But it's because he kind of mixes it up. And this was, as far as I could tell, a one-off for this year, or at least for this tour. So
I don't know about Barrett, but I've never even heard of this guy. Isn't there a comedian named Jeffrey Lewis?
He's from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. He must be in his 40s. I haven't looked him up. This is poor music journalism.
So he's even an American, and you know all about him, and we don't. And why hasn't he played at the coffee shop? Seems like an obvious choice.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think he may be too big. Not to underplay Indie Coffee, but
suggesting that the big artists do not play at Barrett's Coffee Shop. I think that's a horribly insulting thing.
So he can...
I apologize, actually.
He can draw more than, say, 35 people?
Yeah, he definitely. If he played in Chicago, he deliberately plays small venues, but in Chicago he'd play to 150, probably. But he would probably do a matinee in an evening and maybe two dates.
Sounds like he'd play at... Kiki's basement, maybe, right?
Yeah. She's, when we're listening to some music in a bit, I'll find out his most recent Chicago gig and tell you where he played.
I think that, Barrett, it'd be cool if somehow you could get somebody to the coffee shop that has just enough demand that you could do, advance tickets and have it sell out with 35 people or 50 or whatever. Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
We did that one time.
Huh. Or is it just too much of a hassle to do advanced ticket sales?
Well, from my perspective, it would be too much of a pain.
Mm-hmm.
But we did the, there's that Undertow Tickets.
Okay.
I've heard of it. Agency, and they'll do living room shows and small venues and things, and they'll sell the tickets. And that works, but anything else.
They keep 75% of the money and give you 25%.
Not even. No, we didn't get a dime.
Really? It was the cost to set it up, basically.
Yeah. I mean, any of the shows that we have at the coffee shop, they're not really money-making schemes at all. We always lose money, in fact.
Yeah.
Because I'll have a couple of drinks, and pretty soon I'm handing everybody a PBR, Hey. We're buying things and putting money in their tip jar and stuff.
Well, when we announce that we're going to record the podcast live from the coffee shop, that'll be just standing room only for sure.
Yeah. Let's be clear. You did not just announce that. I don't want to be besieged.
No. It's just under discussion, but don't.
Preliminary discussion.
Yeah, I hope people don't get too excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get to our bands this week, we got a fun email, and Barrett and I, in pre-production, decided that we should read it on air.
Yeah.
We've not done the
jingle that we're supposed to record.
Oh, right? we need a new jingle for like that. Listener mail.
Mailbag, yeah.
Okay.
Nicholas is the driving force behind this idea.
Like, yeah.
I am really reluctant to contribute anything that would be audible,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would expose me.
Okay,
I'll do some hand claps.
Okay, yeah. We'll have you come in for the hand claps.
Rhythm guitar, but I'm not going to sing anything.
Okay.
Craig, would you be willing to?
I would not sing for nothing would make me sing.
Okay.
You could do the shouting parts, maybe. Like, occasionally I've done the shouting parts when, you know, I've been playing in a band. Right? Anybody can
I would
do the shouting.
I would do any sort of unison singing or shouting.
Yeah.
That I could do.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is Mike. And this is what he says. I discovered your podcast last fall and have spent the last 3 months listening to all the episodes that I could download dating back to 2012, 5 years worth of episodes. I actually felt a little sad when my avid listening caught up to present day because now I have to wait a week to hear a new episode. Pretty good.
Wow.
But I'm wondering, why did he only go back to 2012? Because you can go back to 2009.
Maybe that's when there were more... I was gonna take a swipe at Chris. I do that too much. Never mind. That's when Chris was a more regular.
That's when you didn't want to.
After I said that I'm not gonna say that, then I did say it.
And then he says, "I'd just like to say that I really enjoy your podcast. Its cast of characters and the format of the show. I stay on top of what's current and cool in music." But there's so many bands and albums that your podcast has introduced me between the 2012 episodes to present that even I had overlooked or missed out on. And here's where it gets fun. I live in Toronto, Canada. I buy new music often and go to shows. Not that I would want to take away from the awesome job that Anurag is doing up here, but if you're interested in adding another correspondent to your Ontario bureau, I'd be available to call in anytime. Either way, the Canadian indie power pop combo Sloan just released a new album on Friday, simply called 12. I'm a huge fan of theirs, and as a constant listener, I think a review for them would go along consistently with the quality of music you've reviewed on the show. No worries if you hate suggestions.
Well, we
best regards, Mike. Yeah, we don't really like suggestions. I don't want to be told what to do. Do you?
Not
come
at all.
On.
No, of course we like suggestions.
Yeah, we love suggestions.
It's kind of surprising.
Well, really nice email. I'm amazed.
I think it was. Yeah, I think it's
his commitment.
Love it that he's trying to steal Anurag's job too. So I promptly informed Anurag that he needs to step up his game.
Mm-hmm.
He did it in such a polite way. I love how he's basically saying he wants to be the Canadian correspondent, but he's framed so politely that it just draws you in.
Right, right. Just kind of sneaky. Yep.
Right.
So anyway, I'm sure.
So we were thinking that maybe, I don't know, that he's got the experience to take over as the bureau chief. And Craig can attest to that. It's a lot of work. But if he were to move here to Madison for a couple of years, unpaid internship, he could hook up the microphones, test the levels and things. Stuff that Will's, you do it all the time. You're probably tired of it. Get us drinks.
Right.
Make coffee, sort mail, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe he'd have a shot. So just take that consider that.
Yeah. It's very good advice to all of you people out there who aspire to be correspondents. All right. Are we ready for the real podcast now?
I am.
I mean, it's already the real podcast, but the meat and potatoes, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I've declared Frankie Cosmos to be the first band to discuss.
Okay.
As many of you indie rockers out there know, this is the band of Greta Klein, and it's their third album, and it's called Vessel. And it's a good album. There, how's that for a review?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Okay, I have a lot of songs I could pick on this. I like it a lot, and there's a lot of catchy tunes. So I'm kind of thinking that I should defer to one of you guys so I can make the second pick. I kind of like that idea.
The second more informed pick.
Yeah. So which one of you guys would like to take the first pick?
Barrett, go ahead.
Okay. I've got three written down here. I am going to pick number six, called Jesse.
Me and Jesse stayed up till two. We talked about dreams, about things, about you. It felt like anything could be real or fake. Like our love is my world, but so is my heartache.
Frankie Cosmos. The album is called Vessel. Yeah, I like that pick. That was on my list of many songs that I could have picked.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's also on mine. I had it as track five. Is it track six? Let's get these facts correct for the listeners.
It's track five.
I'm sorry.
Barrett just committed an egregious error by calling it
Good
track six.
Lord.
Yeah,
track
I wondered
six
if there was a secret American
duet.
Edition of the album with an extra bonus track.
Right. No. Yeah, it's the special U.S. version. Yeah, this is an 18-track album. And what's cool, of course, is that it's still kind of short, right? Let's see, I'm missing my total length.
Yeah, it's 33 minutes long, so.
Yeah, 18 tracks. There are a few tracks that are like a minute, and I think one of the strengths of the album is that the little ditties that are a minute or less are also good, that I right. think. So I think the difference, this is my favorite of their three albums, and I think this one just has more hooks, a lot of hooks.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
The song that I picked is probably not, it's not as bouncy and energetic as some of the other tracks, and so it just didn't seem like the right song to play first, but I'll say why I picked it, and that is, I think it demonstrates what I really like about Greta Klein and the band, which is she is not a good singer, right? By like academic standards.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Glides along to the music like an indie rocker, which I like, but there are probably people that would say, well, this person's not a real singer, right? But the song I picked is distinctive in that at the end of the song, this is the key in the listeners to listen for this. The end of the song, all four band members take turns singing the line, and it's great because none of them are good singers. I mean, Greta Klein is a good singer, but the rest of them are really not real singers, and I think it's affecting the way they do it. So the song is Being Alive.
7, 8, 9, rest, being alive. I see you in everything, my vocabulary. Thank you.
That was not the whole song. So you need to download it or buy it to get the last few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, none of those voices are outstanding, but any one of them leading a band, I think their voice would be acceptable.
Sure. Well, it's just totally untrained, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think if they made you or I do that, we could do it, and it would sound kind of like that.
Okay, here you go.
Okay, here. Barrett's going to sing it now.
I forgot the words. Something about being alive. Anyway, I'll practice that.
Yeah.
But what about Greta Klein's voice? You know, it's not maybe technically amazing and you know, kind of untrained. I don't love it though. You know, it's a little too twee for me. The songs overcome that objection, and overall I like it. But at times it's just too precious, and I wish she could tone it down a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I think it hits different people in a different way. I'm pretty much positive on it. Craig, how about you?
I agree with 100% with what Barrett just said. And I've got a comment on a band we're going to talk about later, which is the same, so I don't really want to use this up, but I kind of do feel... No, I'm going to save it, because I probably only thought of it after I thought of it about them. So, you know, I kind of like this. It's twee, as Barrett said. It's kind of charming. Amanda, my partner, said it sounds like the kind of thing you used to like. So I do still like indie pop, but there was a time when we used to go to the Indie Tracks Pop Festival, which has 3 days of bands like this.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's a very strong scene in the UK, in Glasgow, Edinburgh, London, and South Wales of bands that sound like this. And Frankie Cosmos, or Cosmos, as Americans would say, they would fit in so well there. Yeah, I like it, but I probably wouldn't listen to the album ever again after this. But I do think it's good. It's just not for me, I guess. But I do have a pick, though.
All right, let's hear it.
It features two of my favorite forms of public transport. The title of this track, Bus Bus Train Train.
Bus Bus Train Train makes me think I'm going far away.
Bus, bus, train, train.
Was that the whole song?
I think there was about half a second of fade out that the listeners might have missed out on. Maybe this will finally be the time that we get sued. Management of Frankie Cosmos is going to say, take this down by the close of business today, or we're going to sue you for $1 million or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll find
out. It's funny. You know, Lexi had the EP last year.
Right.
Featuring Greta Klein. I like that a lot more than this, which is just weird because it's kind of the same, but it's just a personal thing.
I liked the Lexi album a lot better than the first two Frankie Cosmos albums, but then this one just hooked me. So I guess sometimes you get hooked and sometimes you don't.
I think Lexi was the gateway drug that got you into Frankie Cosmos, and now...
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Now you're in.
Yeah, that could be it. So, all right. I'm highly recommending it. Barrett's kind of recommending it, I think.
Yeah, I'll give it a lukewarm.
And Craig is, he's leaving. He's just going to stand on the sidelines.
He's going to recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it could have a fewer tracks in total and a few longer songs instead of all those short little bits. But anyway, no, it's good. It's fine.
All right. So this is kind of fun because we each nominated a band this week. So I think, Barrett is sitting here live in studio, so let's give him the next pick.
All right. There's a new album by Heinz, called I Don't Run, and they're a band from Barcelona in Spain, and for, you know, early 20-something, maybe mid-20s women, kind of a garage rock sort of a sound. This is their second album. We can talk a little bit later about how it might compare to the first, but does anybody want to make a pick? I feel you've set a precedent.
By deferring the first pick?
Yeah.
I only have one pick, so maybe I should go in case you two take mine and then I won't have anything.
Yeah, you better. I guess so.
I could just pick a track at random, but anyway, this was the one I favored. So I think, yeah, I'll go with track 5, Echoing My Name.
Heinz.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
We saw them live.
We did.
Was it January?
It was during the Frozen Festivals, either January or February.
That would be, it had to be January then. Yeah, and they were, well, you sort of, when you see them live, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you actually see them doing their trademark things, which is trading vocals and doing like there'll just be a line in the middle and they'll all sing at the same time. And they're cool that way, right?
I like the trading vocals thing a lot. Maybe we'll hear an example of this from one of the other picks, but sometimes when they're all singing in unison, it gets a little brash, a little brassy, and one of them kind of affects kind of a, like a, I don't even know what I'm trying to describe, but kind of like a like a bratty attitude in her voice. And I hope that doesn't, maybe that's sexist, I have no idea. It might be. If so, I apologize. But they, no, that's something that was evident in little parts in the old, in their first album. And I think maybe, you know, like when a child does something and everybody laughs, they'll like keep doing it over and over again. So I think maybe they got some positive signals on that and they sprinkled a lot more of this on this album. And I don't really care for it that much.
I kind of like it because I think it gives it a little more of a, like a punk sound.
Yeah. I mean, here and there, but I think it's,
you think they did
slathered rather than, you know, sprinkled.
Well, Barrett, now we can get your pick.
All right. Let's see. I've got 3 written down here. I will choose, this one's a little bit different than the others. I'm going to say song number 8, which means it's probably really song number 7. But I'll just give you the name. I Feel Cold, But I Feel More.
I think this is the one that I thought distinctively sounded like another band. It reminded me of another band. So let's play. The listeners can play along.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not 38 Special, but it seems like Barrett would name the same band that I would.
I don't know what you're thinking of.
All right. Ready for the reveal?
Do you have a guess, Craig?
I don't know. Madonna.
That's what I was thinking. Let's see if you're right.
The intro to the song in particular, it sounds like Luna.
Yeah, I can hear
it'd
that.
Be totally a Luna song.
Yeah, it's and they both have that, you know, it sounds like the Velvet Underground song, There She Goes Again. Like almost half of music sounds like these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can hear that. And that like cleanly strummed guitar type sound and stuff.
Yep. Punchy bass, simple chord progression. Yep. All right. It was very nice of you guys to not pick the best track on the album so that I could have that pick. I know you did just for me.
We have to deliberately avoid.
Yeah. I think the undisputed best song is number 2, Sober Land. There you go.
Yep, that's a good one. Although I showed Will here my list of picks, and I literally crossed that one out after picking it. So
yeah,
kind of wrong a little bit, but it's okay.
At least you initially picked it before you errantly crossed it out. That's Heinz, Spanish Women,
mm-hmm.
Having Fun. I think they're fun, right? I think that live, that's one thing that came across, is they seem like they're having fun.
Yeah, definitely. I get the feeling that Craig doesn't like it at all.
Yeah, he's going to just slam the
crap out of it. No, I just don't like the vocals. And it prevents me from listening to the music because the vocals are so bad. Well, bad is the right word. I don't like the sound of them personally. I think it's the right... I think if they could be lower in the mix, you know? Just I can't even hear the music.
Hmm. I wonder if
there could be a female Crystal Stilts or something, which one of my favorite bands of all time, that kind of jangly Velvet Underground sound, but I can't even I can't even know if they are because I can't listen to the music.
You can't get past the vocals, huh?
Yeah. Barrett kind of alluded to this earlier, but when they're all singing in unison, it's very atonal. And it's, you know, not for me.
it can sound like they're competing with each other to be heard, you know, on that part. But I think overall, I really like their vocal styling, the trading the vocals. And, you know, when one of them is singing kind of a counter melody, they'll add, you know, well, it's a melody running counter to the regular melody. I think it's really nicely done. But, I think it's you know, they've got some instincts that can be a little bit overbearing, and they could learn to keep those in check maybe. And going forward, that'd be nice. But I still give it a recommendation.
Vocals are such a weird thing where it's just, I think just people react differently to just little subtleties in, and not that this is subtle or anything, but you know, I like the vocals on this. It's probably one of my favorite things about it. But I also love the sound, like the jangly guitars and stuff. So yeah, overall, I'm definitely thumbs up on this one.
All right.
Now we got to give Craig a pick now, 'cause he's totally dissatisfied with what we've presented so far.
No, I don't want to give that impression at all.
So
there's two good lo-fi indie bands, and you know, I don't know, something about it doesn't sit well with me, but I'd recommend the albums to others for sure.
All right,
here we go. I suppose I'm up. I have to introduce this because no one else has heard of them. Is that right?
That's correct.
Right.
We're going to talk about the new album from The Long Cut. And everyone says, who's that? Well, I feel like not that we have a role here on the podcast, but part of our job is just to introduce listeners to something they may not have heard of. And so here we are. This is called Arrows. It's their first album in 9 years. There are three pieces from Manchester. Drummer and vocalist is the same person. Guitarist and keyboard, synth, and then a bass player. Is that right? Yeah, some combination of those. And what was always cool about them, they came out sort of playing shows in the early 2000s, and their first album was 2006, and they were quite an incredible live band. And something which helped give them this live energy is that the drummer is also the singer, but he doesn't sing while he's drumming. So he's at the front on the mic singing, and then he runs back to the drum kit, which is just the most absurd thing. And then he's drumming for a bit. And in some songs, he has to then... They have a drum machine as well, you know, the synths and stuff. So then he'd leave the live drums, run to the front of the stage again. And you'd always think, is he going to make it in time? And surely he could trip and everything would go wrong.
Yeah, that's...
It kind of creates this chaotic situation.
Huh.
Let's play a track and then we can talk more about... I said they're from Manchester, so people are already maybe thinking, well, perhaps they sound a bit like some of the famous New Order. I even said New Order, there you go. Some of the famous Manchester bands. I've picked track 2, Punches. I'd like it if we could come in a little bit into the song here, because it gets a little bit more interesting later on.
All right. We'll be right back. the drummer was definitely too busy on the drums to do any singing on that one.
Right.
Yeah. Earlier in the song, he was singing, and then by the time we cut in, he'd run back to the drum kit.
No, I hadn't heard about them before you brought it up, but I did go back and read some stuff. It sounded like shortly after they formed, their singer quit, right?
Sounds that way, yeah.
And they had initially, I think, were just doing instrumentals because nobody wanted to do any singing, right? Kind of like if Craig and I were in a band, we'd just be doing instrumentals.
I don't know what I'd be playing. I can't play bongos, probably.
You can play the bongos. I'll play rhythm guitar.
Well, this will be a good band.
I don't know. I think I'd put, let's say I'm the band coach. I think I might put Craig on guitar because if you're completely untrained, the stuff you'll play will be, just a really cool level of off-key discordant,
mm-hmm.
right? It'll be accidentally brilliant, right?
I guess.
Well, there's about a 1% chance of that.
I don't know. Well, we've talked about that in the past, how they'll say, oh, do you ever hear some early British punk band from like 77 or something? Like, they literally could not play their instruments. And you're like, right. That's bullshit.
Yeah, they're definitely playing their instruments.
Yeah, and they're doing it fairly well.
Especially the drummer always has to be able to play his instrument.
A little bit, yeah.
There haven't been very many bands that have bad drummers that have, made it very far.
Maybe the Velvet Underground.
Could be.
I mean, anybody. She did it first, so good for her, but...
Would you consider Meg White to be a good drummer, or just... I don't know. Just doing... I'm not... So this isn't a loaded question.
Yeah,
I would say... I would say
that Maureen Tucker, and they're both women, which is unfortunate because we're criticizing how they play. But
you could pick Ringo Starr, anyway, if you wanted.
But yeah, it's just like you could teach anybody to do that in a week or less.
I don't think that's true. I mean, I don't think that that playing Meg White level drums is as easy as you might think. And I think that the way she played drums was rock and roll, right? It wasn't academically good like, John Bonham or something. But
And that's not necessary either. But
I think it also, in some ways, added to the character of the band. Just
sure.
being a little off, you know. Yeah,
but
you gave
a
good example, I guess.
That doesn't make it hard to do.
Know
what I mean?
I've seen enough people try to play drums who are actually musicians, but they don't play drums regularly. They're guitar players. And they sit down at the drums, and they can't make even a steady enough rhythm to make it even sound like at all decent.
I'm not saying that she has no sense of rhythm and zero talent or anything.
Yeah,
I'm saying among recorded drummers, she'd have less talent than the vast majority.
Yeah. Probably true. On the other hand, like singers who are off key, and then we can say, well,
right.
they're off key and I like them anyway, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to be good.
So
Craig, I think you should just go for it.
Yeah.
Get a guitar.
Having said all this, maybe Craig should be the drummer.
I don't think that would work out well either.
If you have enthusiasm, then you can just put a lot of energy into it. And
I definitely prefer Meg White to an amateur drummer who just smashes the hell out of the drum kit and sounds absolutely appalling. Better to be more restrained and held back and keep the music in time and like you're supposed to than just beating the hell out of them and sounding like making an awful racket.
Well, depending on the type of band you are. I mean, some bands.
Remember that demo I sent you? Someone I work with, college band, and the drummer recorded it. The drummer was... Oh goodness!
That's
going
right.
like a bat out of hell, slapping this.
I remember that now. Yeah.
We should have that sometime in the future. It was quite fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, I'll make a pick from the long cut. This is another pick. This is the second time I've done this in a month. I'm recommending some music for Chris because this one has a little bit of a. I think it has a little bit of a Godspeed You Black Emperor kind of sound to it. It's number 5, Beasts. Thank you. So that lead synthesizer sounds like a person's voice, right? But I'm pretty sure it's a synthesizer. But there's a fine line sometimes where you can't tell.
It sounded to me, I was just thinking it was a voice. I didn't pick up on that.
At first I thought it was a voice, and then I started to think, no, I think it's a synthesizer. So I'm voting.
I think there's live drums in that piece, and so therefore...
Yep.
Unless they brought in a guest vocalist.
Yeah, yep. He was rocking.
Drummer can't be singing and drumming.
He was rocking on the drums. Barrett, do you have a pick?
I don't have a pick. I listened to it twice, and overall I really liked it, but I didn't go back, and, you know, I didn't listen to it enough to have a pick.
So we have to turn back to Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go for track 4. I think you should say this. Popic, maybe? Yeah, Popic.
The long cut.
Yeah, it's a welcome return. I think they've got 3 records now, and this is not a great album, but it's good enough that when they put the best songs from this in with the best songs from the others, they're going to have a really good 45-50 minute live show, which something to look forward to.
And hopefully the drummer will keep doing that running back and forth thing, because that sounds cool.
I'll let you know. I'm going to see them in a few weeks.
You know, a less radical drummer variant is when they put the drummer at the front of the stage, like on the side. I think that's kind of cool. I'm sure you've seen bands that have done that, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Japan Droids, No Age, probably.
Actually, I just saw Built to Spill, and they did that. The drummer on the right side up front. I guess I should have given a report for that.
You should have.
A brief one. It was great. The opener played way too long.
Oh.
You guys know the Afghan Whigs?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know them, but I know.
The
old cliche.
The internet radio station that I used to listen to, WOXY, was out of Cincinnati, and the Afghan Whigs are from Cincinnati, so they were huge on the Afghan Whigs. And I had one album, and I liked like 3 or 4 songs. I liked a lot, and the rest of it inconsistent. So you didn't
like
them that much
at all. They played for an hour and a half.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah,
wow.
And so the excuse was, well, they're kind of co-headlining, so all right, that's fine.
Was it at the High
Noon?
I might
not have gone.
Where was it?
It was at the Majestic.
Majestic.
So we had a nice spot standing way up in front, but you're there. So you're like, okay, I'm going to have the one beer I walked down here with. That's it.
Yeah.
And you're there for 4 hours. Like, oh, my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we've never really talked about Built to Spill on this podcast, which
not
is weird.
Much.
They are, I just really like them a lot.
They're indie rock veterans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to watch.
I've seen them a couple of times. Headlining and also supporting Dinosaur Jr. They're really great.
Yeah, to watch him with his guitar pedals and stuff, and I'm not like I play acoustic guitar a little bit and badly, but like all these pedals, and then this other thing that he plugs the pedals into, where he's like adjusting the frequencies and so it's pretty remarkable to watch, and even more impressive to hear. I think it's just incredible. Nobody else really does what he does, and he's got a unique voice. Yeah, so all that was evident in the show that I saw, which was excellent. I saw it with Wilson.
And they've been around so long now that the set list has to be pretty important. They put together a pretty good set list. I mean, it's you know, it's like Yola Tango, you know, and you got that many albums. I mean, right. Built to Spill has at least like 7 or 8 albums, right?
Yeah, maybe more.
Yeah.
But I mean, Keep It Like a Secret is kind of their big one, and it was heavy on that, you know. So, yeah, it was very good.
I think if I were going to see a band like that, that I've listened to a couple of their albums, but I don't have a good handle on their catalog, I'd probably have to go to the streaming service and find the top 20 songs.
Right. Yeah.
That's if you a pretty did that good, for Jeffrey Lewis last yeah. week, then you would have heard the whole set.
Yeah. I mean, that's the cool thing is that most bands are going to play the stuff that people want to hear.
Right.
So you're going to get, unless you just have somebody that just like doesn't care, but usually you're going to get 3/4 of the set by just doing that, right?
Yeah. But if you see a band that's got a lot of, you know, maybe artistic integrity and they don't want to pander to the crowds... You know, I'm talking about a band like 38 Special. Well, they're not going to play Hold On Loosely. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. They're,
why would they do, you know?
They aren't there just to please the crowd.
Well beyond that.
Yeah.
That was 40 years ago, 30 years ago.
Plus, when you don't play the hits like that, it's a credit to all of your really devoted fans who like the deep cuts. So that's, a 38 Special show of all deep cuts.
Yeah, that'd be great. Especially if you come out and do like 6 encore songs, and everybody thinks you're going to do it, but then you don't.
Right. Tantalizingly cool. Close to Hold On Loosely. Yeah, that's true. Keep them guessing. Okay, I think we did it. So your live report probably deserved the jingle, Barrett, but you know, we did play the jingle earlier. So.
No, that's fine.
And I agree, we should probably either find or write or record a jingle for the listener mail.
I think that because you and Nicholas are the real musicians, you should come up with the ideas, put something together, and then maybe figure out little things for the little people to do.
If only we could figure out. I've got a little multi-track recorder that I haven't completely figured out how to use. The problem is compatibility of all this stuff. Because if he could put down a couple tracks and then just like email them to me, and then I add a couple tracks and send them back. That's how, you know, that's how Fleetwood Mac recorded, right? Because they hated each other, so they just like sent stuff. They probably had to mail it, but now we could do it on the internet now.
Yeah.
Speaking of Fleetwood Mac hating each other, did you see that?
Kicked out Lindsey Buckingham.
You can't kick out Lindsey Buckingham. So I don't think you can if you're Fleetwood Mac, because he's too central to the whole band.
Right.
So I think that, I mean, they can do whatever they want, and there's probably a spat, and there's probably a dispute whether he quit or got kicked out, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just heard that it happened. I didn't read.
Isn't he kind of the? I'm not a Fleetwood Mac. Like, I haven't written a novel about Fleetwood Mac. Like Chris probably has, not a novel, but a biography of Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm.
But my impression is that Lindsey Buckingham is kind of the musical heart of the band. Like, well, most of the main songwriting, the ideas come from him, I think.
During their peak of popularity, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they had a pretty long career before he and Stevie Nicks came aboard. And they're Americans, and the rest of the guys are British. And so the stuff that people know is a lot of, you know, Lindsey Buckingham. Actually, they all wrote stuff. Like, Christy McVie wrote a lot of big songs, and, you know, plenty of songwriters and singers in that band.
Yeah, that's true. The more we talk about it, the more I would contradict myself and prove myself wrong.
No, but it would still be like maybe there's, I don't know. Like REM kicking out Mike Mills just doesn't make sense. You know, kind of ceases to be the band anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering what we're talking about. Fleetwood Mac haven't written any new material, have they?
I don't know. I know that if Buckingham and Nix wrote did an album.
There was, I think that was, yeah, there was an album they just put out like last year.
Oh, damn. I was going to say that, you know, they're just playing all their, you know, surviving off all their old hits. It's just a bit like cabaret, isn't it? When you go on the cruise ship and,
yeah, they wouldn't be playing much of the new stuff. They'd be playing Rumours, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to lay it down here. If you don't release new material that's at least on a par with your old material, then you cease to be relevant. You can't just go around playing your greatest hits. The 38 special have a special pass, unique, you know, free pass.
That's an exception, right?
Yeah.
They can,
anyone else? No.
Think if they did a, you know how bands will do a, they'll do a tour and they'll say, we're going to play this album, you know, the old classic album or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
38 special could do a thing where they're going to play only Hold On Loosely.
Wow.
Right? Just play it like 14 times in a row.
Yeah.
Think of the
different,
you know,
tempos and stuff.
Or you could, I mean, it, don't you think it's it could same. Stand on its own? Just keep playing it.
I guess so, yeah.
You'd be, it'd be like Bliss. Instead of for 4 minutes, it'd be like almost an hour.
Unbelievable.
By the last time they played it, the entire crowd would be just singing, just belting out
in,
the words.
Yeah, like in tears.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I don't know, just an idea.
Huh.
The National actually did that, didn't they?
What did they do?
The National played a show. I don't know how long it was. Hours long. Maybe 6 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, where they played the same song over and over again. And then they released it as a live album. Some music journalist in the UK actually reviewed it.
I remember reading
that
they did
a 12-pack of lager and sat at his desk in his house, live-tweeting as he was listening to the album.
It sounds...
Oh, my God.
It sounds kind of torturous, actually.
Oh, my music journalist has let me down, but anyone who's interested to find out about this, just go on Google and wrote the National live album. I don't know what, but they just played the same song repeatedly.
Hmm.
Wow.
Imagine being there. Is it awful?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hmm. All right. It's the time in the podcast where I declare that we've given the listeners their $0 worth. So that's what I'm going to do.
All right. I'm not going to argue that.
Craig's not going to argue that. I don't think.
No, I have to go and eat something. It's tea time here, evening meal time. So I'm not going to argue. I've given all I've got.
So what are you going to eat?
Like, oh, this is going to sound pretentious now. I'll just say we're going to have ham, egg, and chips. I said, please can we have that really nice thing where we have falafel and halloumi and squid rings, calamari and salad. So a nice bread with olives. So we're going to have that.
You're gonna
but
make,
usually I have ham, egg, and chips, obviously.
At home, you're going to do that?
Or, yeah.
Wow, very...
Yeah, Amanda works at home now, maybe 1 or 2 days a week. And my lunch is, normally, if I'm just home, I work at home all the time, I just have a cheese sandwich for lunch. But when she's here, we have these amazing lunches. And we had this for lunch one working day a few weeks ago.
Wow.
So I said, please, can we have that again, but at the weekend? So we're going to.
That's pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
There you go. So
we're going to go.
I do prefer the working class, working man's lunch of ham, egg, and chips. Though I'd like to say that.
Yeah.
Don't get anyone to get a false impression of me.
We're going to go back to our humble milk toast Midwestern existence, right?
Yeah.
Cheese curds.
Yeah. Boy, there's a difference though, like between good and bad cheese curds, right, Barrett?
Totally. I mean, most places, if you just go to a random bar,
yeah,
it's going to be frozen out of a bag, and they're all exactly the same.
Yeah.
And those are unspectacular, but go to a place that makes it in-house.
The ones that are fresh, they're really good.
Got some pretty good ones here.
Yep.
In Madison.
Craig's going to get to sample those.
Yes. Speaking of Craig and travel, Craig has already booked his ticket to Austin for next March, right? For the South by Southwest. This thing is getting real.
It's about time someone from the podcast went. I'm going.
Yeah. And Will, you're in, right? You're going to do it.
I think so.
I was talking a big game, and I'm like, I was a little bit reluctant to bring it up with my wife. But then I just blurted I was just like, yeah, you know, everybody's going to go to South by Southwest. Do you think that? She's totally fine with it. So I was, I mean, I knew she would be, but I still was reluctant to bring it up because it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, it will be expensive. But I was thinking about how, you know, the hotel situation must be totally crazy. And I started to look around a little bit, and then I realized that there are official hotels that you can get yourself on a list, or maybe there's a lottery of some sort, but you can only do it if once you've bought your badge for the festival, so they have to verify you're actually attending and that you've paid to attend, then I guess maybe you have a chance of actually getting a hotel room that's, you know, it'd be nice to be within walking distance and not have to take cabs and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin is big. Austin is really geographically big.
Bring sleeping bags and sleep in the park?
Could do that. Yeah. I think we should try to interrupt Bob Boylan with his late night report. We should find him and like crash it.
Yeah, totally.
What do you think? Mm-hmm. All right. That's enough. More fun to look forward to. We should let Craig eat his food. So thanks, Craig. It's been fun, as usual.
Thanks a lot.
And we'll talk to you again, and we'll talk to the listeners hopefully next week, although the schedule is tight. It's possible we have to skip next week, but I think we'll try to get something in. So we'll talk to you again soon with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @WillsBand. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.